1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, hear now the word of our Lord. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David, until he had made an end of building his own house, and the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. But I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and thou hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have given also thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Amen.
Good morning. How is everyone? Fine, I hope. This morning, we're going to mostly stay in the book of Proverbs. We're going to talk about wisdom and the fear of the Lord. They kind of go together. Wisdom. Now, I remember using wisdom once when I was a young man. My father used to smoke Dutch Master cigars. And he'd buy them by the box and put them in the refrigerator to keep them fresh. And a lot of you remember the old blue cigar store that was in town. You could go in there and you could buy a box of cigarette loads. You would stick them in the end of a cigarette and they'd blow a cigarette up. Well, I went there and bought a box of them. I got in the refrigerator and carefully unwrapped with my father's cigars, and I stuck a load in, jammed it in with a toothpick, and carefully folded it back up and put it in the box. And I got thinking, with all my wisdom, well, one isn't going to blow a cigar up. These are for cigarettes. It's going to take more than one to blow this cigar up. So I got back in the refrigerator, opened the same cigar. I put four or five in there. And I put it back in, and I forgot, a couple of weeks went by. I forgot all about this. And I came home from school, and my father was sitting in a chair, and he wasn't looking real happy. My mother was sitting in the other chair. And she was trying to keep a straight face, but she was having a hard time keeping from laughing. And my father says, You owe me $6.35. I said, $6.35. What I owe you $6.35 for? He said, I was that got down at the other end. He worked on the railroad. He said, I checked in the hotel, went down to the diner and ate. After I finished my meal, I lit my cigar up. And three other railroaders came down and sat down with him. And they all ordered chicken dinners. And they was busy eating their meal. He said, I was puffing my cigar. He said, that cigar just exploded. He said, bits of tobacco went everywhere, all in everybody's food. And he said, I had to buy him three more chicken dinners. He said, that's $6.30. And another nickel for the cigar. I said, well, how do you know I did it? And he gave me one of these looks. And that's when wisdom kicked in. I knew it was better to go upstairs and get the $6.35 rather than argue with him anymore. Wisdom. What do you think about when I say wisdom? Do you think of being skillful, wisely, understanding? How about being successful or the ability to help and support others? And let's throw in teaching, knowledge, and intelligence. How about being wise in mind, word, and action? Having discretion. And let's don't forget about the heart and the feelings. These are some of the different words, or some of the different meanings for the word wisdom in the Old Testament. We think of wisdom, and we have to go to the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is mentioned more times in the book of Proverbs than in any other book. Well, why is that? What Dave read this morning, in 1 Kings 3, this is what Solomon desired. This is what he asked for. This is what he wanted most. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 4. Page 454, starting with verse 29, verse 30. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceedingly much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand is upon the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. Proverbs. Part of it was written to Solomon, and the other part was written by Solomon. There appears to be a failure many times to remember that the walk that is to all pleasing, wisdom and understanding are necessary. Go to 1 Colossians, page 1781, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Christ has not only been made unto us righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, but also wisdom. When the Apostle James spoke of the temptations that shall come to those who endure the crown of life, he spoke of what? Let's go to 1 James, page 1848, verse 4 and 5. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men literally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. One might think strength to endure, patience or courage, or some other kind of virtue might come to mind first. But no, it is wisdom that is in great need of the tried believer. In Colossians 4:5, it says we are to walk in wisdom. It's one of the spears of the believer's walk. Without wisdom, practical righteousness is impossible. The book of Proverbs contains spiritual rules for the conduct of life. It gives us guidance and the teachings in parable forms. Let's go to 1 Proverbs, page 8, 65. Okay, let's read the qualities of verse 2, 4, and 6 together. To know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding, then to give substance to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, and to understand a proverb and interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark sayings. To see how this is answered, let's insert verses 3, 5, and 7. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equality. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsel. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Here you have three assertions, or three proverbs. The first one being in 2 and 3, the second one in 4 and 5, and the third one in 6 and 7. In verse 2, the boundaries are unlimited. To what? To know, to perceive, and to receive. The complete proverb is obtained by just adding the little word is to verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom is justice, judgment, and equality. And back to verse 2 again. It says to know wisdom and instructions. The word instruction is translated elsewhere, chastising, in Proverbs 3:11, 13:24, and 5:17. Chastisement in Isaiah 53:5, correction in Proverbs 7:22 and 23:13, and then discipline in Job 36:10. Here we have wisdom in its usable practice applied towards us in discipline. Next comes the perception of wisdom, with the word to perceive and to understand. They're aligned, they have the same characteristics. The little reading is to make discerned speeches of discernment. Here we have on the threshold of the book of Proverbs a parallel with Philippians 1:10. Go to 17:73. Verse 10 says that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Go to 2 Timothy 2:15. It says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here you have the idea of discerning, or in back in Proverbs, to perceive or to understand the truth that is being spoken. Let's go back to Proverbs 1 again. Then it says in verse 3, that it says to receive the instruction of wisdom. Okay, in verse 3 it says to receive the instruction of wisdom. The word instruction, we already interpret that as discipline in verse 2. But the word wisdom here This is not the same wisdom that's in verse 2. This is something rather clear or of sound judgment. Thus, we have the four steps towards the goal of this proverb. And one is to know wisdom, to recognize it when we see it. Two, to know it when it touches us, is discipline. And three, to discern things that differ in speech of the wise. And four, to receive the discipline that sound judgment demands. Let's go to Proverbs 2:9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equality, yea, and every good path. This goes along with Proverbs 2:3, but even goes a little deeper to the recognition of what is being said and the understanding it in the right order. After stating this opening proverb, we who are justified freely by grace, who desire to walk in harmony of our calling, we cannot be by all intent and purpose the righteous if unwise, undiscerning, and undisciplined. The second proverb, back in verse 4 and 5. Second proverb contemplates growth, advancement, and ability to help others. Verse 4 starts out to give substance to the simple. The word simple are the open ones, and they're mentioned quite frequently in the book. They are classified with sinners and fools. Go to verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. They're turning away from the call of wisdom. It's fatal unto themselves. Verse 32. From the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The simple ones, in chapter 14 and 22, means they believe everything. They are passed on and are punished. All these passages, if considered in their context, reveals the fact that simple ones are perishing for the lack of instructions. Let's go back to Proverbs 1:4 again. Then it says, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Discretion preserves its life to the soul. It guards life. Go to Proverbs 2:11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Go to 3. 3:21. My son, let not them depart from thy eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Chapter 5, verse 2. That thou mightest regard discretion, and thy lips might keep knowledge. In verse 4, 1:4, this is spoken to those who need instructions. Verse 5 tells us who is fit to give it. Verse 5 starts out, and a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Learning means to take. And this indicates a wise man will continue to take instructions. And then it says to understand a... Wait a minute. Then it says that a man of understanding, the best teachers, are ever learning. ever increasing their capacity to learn. Thus thou shalt tame to wise counsel. Wise counsel means guidance, a leader, such as captain of a ship. Peter has been a captain of this ship for many years. I never quite understood the responsibility this wisdom brings. This wisdom you have to have a desire or a craving for. But also with this wisdom comes a great responsibility. And that takes us to the next proverb, 6 and 7, the fear of the Lord. This deals with the understanding of the deep things of God. Let's start out with verse 6. To understand a proverb and its interpretation, this doesn't take us very far, so how else you going to understand a proverb except by its interpretation? The meaning of a proverb at a point seems to be in the next phase. And the words of the wise, this is the proverb. And their dark sayings, the point. Well, what's the point? The beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Not so much the brains in view here, it's the heart. This is a discipline. There are wisdom that fools despise. The three proverbs open this book of wise sayings are deep and full. And the arrangement is simple. The first being to know, to perceive for oneself, the first half. The second half is to receive instruction in his righteousness. The second proverb, to give to others as does the teacher. The first half, the second half being the capacity to guide. The third proverb being to understand a proverb and its point. The second half being the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord plays an important part, for it occurs some 14 times in the book of Proverbs. These proverbs are spiritual and to be understood by those who fear the Lord. The very beginning of knowledge is given as fear of the Lord in verse 7. A wisdom and discipline that fools despise. This truth is large upon in verse 129. For that they hateth knowledge and not choose the fear of the Lord. Then it says wisdom has cried out. It says wisdom has cried out, warning the effects of loving simplicity and hating knowledge. Go to verse 20. It says wisdom has cried out. She hath her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concords. In the opening of the gates, in his city she utters her words, saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called you and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock you if your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction is come as whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And then comes the conclusion, for that they hateth knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoever hearkened to me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet for the fear of the evil. Chapter 2 opens with a sharp contrast. Here, not only is fear of the Lord given as the beginning of knowledge, but the one who has this is instructed how he may discern the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Look how specific the instructions are. You are to seek it as man seeks wealth, or perk up your ears like a dog hearkens. Start with the first one in chapter 2. My son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift the voice for understanding, thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hidden treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Then we come to the fear of the Lord in chapter 8, 13. This is a practical issue. It says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way. And the four mouths do I hate. Evil cannot be considered neutral, let alone friendly. Fools hate knowledge, says in 129, and instructions in 512. The departing from evil is the very highway which the upright walk. This is chapter 16, 17. In Proverbs 8, 13, it says we are to hate evil. In Proverbs 16, 6, to depart from evil. And Proverbs 13, 19 calls it abomination. Departure does not come first, but hatred, the heart, and the motive. Then the departure, the feet, and the movement. God may use evil. Chapter 16 declares this. But we are not God, and our attitude is not regulated by our ideas, but by his commands. We now proceed to discover that not only is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge, but also the beginning of wisdom. Go to chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Next one is found in chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but that the years of the wicked shall be shortened. There's a deeper truth here than just the mere prolonging of days. You can truthfully say the fear of the Lord shall make my days great, and the wicked their days shall be counted little. There's a scriptural verse that says, for by Christ my days shall be great. The next one occurs in chapter 14, verse 26. It says the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The heart, not the intelligence, is in view here. They who fear the Lord shall fear none other, for in him they both have confidence and refuge. The Proverbs now leads the subject of knowledge and wisdom and tends to life. Go to verse 27. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of life. To depart from the snares of death. The first part is pretty simple. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of life. The departing from the snares of death. This varies. And some that entraps many concerns the good things of this life. Let's go to 15, verse 16. It says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble there within. Also in this life is being humble. Go to verse 33 in chapter 15. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Okay, the next one, Gulf Center, there is in chapter 19, 23. It says, the fear of the Lord tends to life. Life here is plural, lives. And it also has a future life in view. And it says that he that hath it shall abide satisfied, and he shall be not be visited with evil. Okay, the next one to look at is in chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. We have the end of humiliation, the fruit of life. It is to our good to hold to the fear of the Lord. Those that do not fear the Lord may prosper in this life, but then comes the end. Our last reference leaves us with this thought. Chapter 23, verse 17 and 18. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. The fear of the Lord covers the whole journey from the beginning of knowledge to the hereafter, which shall be enjoyed in his presence. Dear Heavenly Father, may we continue to seek your wisdom that you so freely give. May we have a longing and a desire in our hearts for truth and understanding. I can't think of a more powerful thing to seek than your wisdom. May we hold to the fear of the Lord, Father. Life is so short. And we probably have it best at any time since Adam. But also, Father, life is so full of distractions. We have to be skillful, wisely, and understanding. Having discretion. May we also take the time to help others, Father, and to hug or listen to a loved one. It's in your beloved Son's name that we pray. Amen.